Welcome to SDPB's Teacher Talk, where two teachers and a journalist explore what it means to choose teaching as a profession. I'm the journalist, Lori Walsh. Before we get to today's conversation, a little more about our Teacher Talk educators. Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member at the University of South Dakota and director of the Center for Student and Professional Services in the School of Education. She's been a teacher, a librarian, and an administrator. She's also an experienced registered yoga teacher. Gina Benz is in her 25th year of teaching. She teaches at Roosevelt High School and helped develop the Teacher Pathway Program. She's adjunct faculty at the University of Sioux Falls, Augustana University, and the University of South Dakota. Here's our conversation.
Well, from a personal standpoint, I don't talk about this a lot on Teacher Talk, but I am a registered yoga instructor, and one of the aspects of that part of my life is that moving has always helped me academically. When I was writing my dissertation in particular, I was doing a large amount of yoga, and that increased my capacity to get more work done. So
define large amount of yoga. What do you mean?
Oh, I guess large is probably an overstatement. I was doing more of it then than I am now. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
I was
like doing daily?
I was doing a mostly daily practice of yoga. Mm-hmm. And it was also something I would do, like I would write for a while, and then I would do a little bit of yoga, and then I would keep writing. So from a personal practice standpoint, I've always experienced, especially with the practice of yoga, moving more, increasing my intellectual or academic capacity. But just last month in Education Week, my favorite publication to talk about on this series is they did a little bit of a recap of the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Survey from 2019, which talked about the relationship of physical activity and student grades. And so that piece is what inspired me to talk about it this week.
Yeah. Were you an athlete in school?
Oh, not at all. Okay. Actually, that's one of the stories I tell about myself is that I'm terribly unathletic, and I come from a family who's incredibly athletic, college athletes, all of that kind of thing. So I've never been athletic at all, and PE was by far and away my first subject. And one of the stories I tell the students I work with now is that being so bad at PE and really struggling with PE made me understand what it would be like to have a subject be difficult for a student. Yeah. And so I feel like that's one of the things I always keep in mind and try and share with folks is that not everything comes easily to everyone. And so if I had to do PE all day, every day, school would have been really difficult for me.
Do you feel like PE's changed, though?
Oh, sure.
That's been my lesson with Teacher Talk has been, I'll be like, yeah, I could not. PE was torment. But we were also wearing, like, school uniforms and taking showers together and climbing ropes. So none of which I wanted to do.
That's not happening anymore.
So, in fairness, PE has probably changed a lot. But yes, you struggled with it, and that stuck with you.
Absolutely. Yes.
But Jackie, come on, you're a dancer and a yoga teacher of teachers. So I say you're an athlete.
I beg to differ, but I so appreciate that. Gina, you do what so many other educators do when I say what I just said now, which is to try and help me look at my strengths. And I've had a number of coaches that have been like, oh, I bet if you did this or that. But no, my natural acumen for anything athletic is really low. So
I think this is really relevant too, and that we've got a lot more to cover here. But I think this part is super relevant because I also will say I was never an athlete. I am very not athletic. And then people say to me, Jackie, well, you were in the Marines. You ran a half marathon. You had a yoga practice. You've done, and you start listing the things that I've done. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I didn't do any of them well. Or, yeah, but I was really slow. I always have an excuse that I can minimize my own athleticism.
Yeah.
And they do feel like there's something going on there. Like when some people just get locked into, I can't do math, but yet they're really good at it, but maybe they're comparing, or they're being compared to other people who math comes easy. Like, do we anticipate that we should be able to do those athletic things in first place? Or do we anticipate that we should do those athletic things without sweating, without it being hard, without having to build the skills? So there are some people who, you know, are afraid to write, and there are some people who are afraid to do sports because it's not, they're not naturally gifted at it.
And I like how you're opening up the conversation, because movement in the classroom isn't for athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for athletes, but it's for everybody. And everybody can be a part of movement and physical exercise. It just looks different.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to get into that. What are the facts? We know that students with higher grades are more likely to be doing stuff, you know, physically.
Yes, that is what the study said. So I will read it verbatim. Compared to students with lower grades, students with higher grades are more likely to both engage in physical activity for at least 60 minutes per day on all 7 days of a week and play on at least one sports team. And then also, compared with students with lower grades, students with higher grades are less likely to watch television for 3 or more hours per day, or play video games or use a computer for 3 or more hours per day. So the study was really about sedentary behaviors versus physical activity behaviors and how that compared with grades. And the short version is, if you moved more, you had higher grades. If you were more sedentary, you had lower grades.
So if grades are dropping school-wide, one of the problems could be these kids are not moving. They're moving less, not more. In theory.
In theory. In theory. Based on the research.
Oh, that's depressing. Because our whole world is designed, you know, maybe not school with all the sports teams and stuff, but certainly as an adult, I would say that my job is designed to encourage me to sit more and move less.
Okay. So yeah. I will say this is where it opens up the door to a few things I do in my own classroom. When I want students to talk about something, I do a stand-in talk. And so we're not doing exercises, but they're moving. They're getting up. They're standing and talking with a certain group of students. Once they have their answer, once they have their contribution to the whole class discussion, they sit down. It's the easiest thing just to get them up, get them moving a little bit, and it takes almost no preparation.
How long is the class period in high school?
In my school, it's 50 minutes.
50 minutes, okay.
That's so, pretty typical. Unless you're on a block, then you might do 90 every other day.
Okay. So normal, and you're walking from class to class. So there's a certain amount of physical break in middle school and high school in places where you would get up and move from classroom to classroom. But you're saying even within the classroom, we're standing up and getting up within that 50 minutes.
That's my most common one.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll do a little break where we just do some stretches. And luckily, Jackie taught me a whole bunch of stretches or yoga poses once upon a time. And so I'll say, hey, I want to show you something called tree pose. And we'll all just do that for fun, for a quick break. And then the third thing I like to do is called a gallery walk. So the students have created something, produced something. They have it on their desk. It could be also on the screen of their Chromebook. And we walk around and admire one another's creations.
Oh, I like that.
So for instance, my Teacher Pathway students create a website that highlights everything they learn in Teacher Pathway. So they put their website on their Chromebook and everyone can walk around and peek at it, one another's.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It ups the level of concern or of commitment my students have to creating their website when they know their classmates will look at it.
Right.
And it also inspires students as they look at each other's.
Okay. Well, so physically active brain breaks. Oh, we got to go back. Jackie, recess.
Yes.
The world needs recess.
I'm an advocate for recess. I'm an advocate for physical education. I think those are ways that physical movement is classically embedded into the school day already. And so this research just solidifies that those are good decisions that we've made, and I support us continuing them.
Yeah. All right. So PE classes, time to just play, unstructured play. Encouraging ways, you know, a good playground so that there's something to do other than just, you know, pavement and dirt. And then tell us more about brain breaks.
Yes. I feel like in the time that I was teaching middle school and high school, these came into vogue, and I'm so grateful because brain breaks are simply the concept that students are not machines and they can't go continuously on input, produce. They need a moment to breathe and digest the information and reset. So brain breaks provide that opportunity. They are exactly what they sound like. They give your brain a break from learning and a moment to refocus and reset. They don't take terribly long. You can have them be a minute to 5 minutes. And there are countless resources now for brain breaks, for different things that you can do to help students reset. But in the blog, I just advocate for having those brain breaks be physical when possible, just so that students have an opportunity to move around the room and get that physical movement that the research is saying is so important to their academic success.
Yeah, that there is evidence-based reason to do this. Is there a best practice for a brain break? How do you know that it's worked? Because I think the concern would be, like, if I let them, we're interrupting the flow of a lesson, and then we're getting up and we're doing some stretches, and then now nobody wants to sit down because, you know, they were in a groove and now they're not. That would be the fear or the hesitation. So best practices for classroom management and getting in and out of a brain break.
I think that brain breaks show themselves naturally because students start behaving in ways that indicate that they need a break. So when you're teaching, you can get a sense for, I wouldn't ever be like, let's do a brain break right now because I had it scheduled in my very detailed lesson plan. I would be teaching and then notice that my students were losing focus, that they were acting sillier, that they weren't paying attention to what we were doing. And then as in reacting in real time, I would say, oh, we need a brain break because of the behaviors that are popping up. Okay. And so rather than saying, oh, it's the scheduled time for the brain break, at least that's how I operated my classroom. Now, more structured teachers might say, oh, brain breaks happen every day at 10:10, and then students kind of naturally start to fall into that very structured space where they know a break is coming at a certain time. But yes, I think then that very structured teacher would not feel as though they're interrupting their lesson because they would have planned for it.
Yeah. All right. So know what kind of teacher you are and incorporate accordingly. Mm-hmm. All right.
Exactly.
How do we make learning physically active in and of itself?
Lots of options here. Gina just gave such good suggestions for things that she does in her classroom. And I started to make a list when I was writing this blog, and then I thought this could go on to infinity for options here. And I'm sure the teachers that are listening and the teachers that people talk to who are listening to this can visit with them, and I hope they do, about the ways that they make their learning physically active. But when I taught middle school, it was very popular to have some kind of, like, tossing a ball around the room to call on students, or to have students call on each other to take turns, just this, like, thing of tossing things around. Just as an aside, as someone who's not an athlete, that did make me a little bit stressed out. Was I regularly not catching a ball? Yes, that did happen to me. So just a little encouragement to the non-athlete teachers, you can do it too. but then also doing things like Gina said, gallery walks, scavenger hunts, things that were stations where they have to move from one part of the room to the other, just so that they're not sedentary the whole time.
How physically active is teaching as a profession? How much are you moving?
Very active.
Let me just say this.
This is another reason to become a teacher. You're going to keep moving throughout the day.
New teachers, invest in good shoes. Mm. Do not get the cheap shoes because they look so cute. And because you can get so many, spend the money because you're going to be on your feet.
I very rarely do the kids these days comment, but I am going to take a moment and say this generation that's currently in college has the correct footwear. They are ready to be
teachers.
They
true.
Wear the right footwear.
It's true. They're like going to the store that measures your feet and like makes sure that you have they're wearing the correct footwear.
Mm-hmm. And the fashions have followed where a nice tennis shoe looks good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it used to be teachers, if you're above a certain age, you had to wear pumps.
That's right. Yep.
Yes. Or dress Oxfords shoes. Of some kind. Yes. You had to wear dress shoes, and there were consequences to that.
You had to wear a physical skirt consequences that you can't get rid of necessarily.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, so how about the teacher then? Do you participate in the the brain break? Do you participate in, you're walking around, standing around too? So it's for you as well.
Oh, yeah. Teachers, we need our own brain breaks for sure. It creates a moment of connection with your students.
Because you're not getting PE class.
True.
So here's what I'm asking. You're not in this. You're getting some movement in the classroom if you've designed it to be so. But you are not getting walking from class to class between periods. And you're not getting PE class. And you're probably not on a sports team right after school because you're still working when they've gone to practice. Mm-hmm. What else do you need to do to be a teacher who's moving more and learning more and taking care of yourself?
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Gina, but when I was teaching and wore a pedometer, I was clocking a lot of steps as a teacher.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Because when my students
are
working.
Who has their steps from today?
I didn't lock mine.
Pull out your phones.
Yeah, I keep my phone in my own backpack.
Oh,
just
okay.
to model
so
that
not,
for students,
yeah?
So I don't have it on me
oh,
to clock
nice.
That. But when my students are working, when we're talking, I'm basically making laps around my classroom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the day.
Do you know what I'm doing all day long?
Are you sitting at a microphone
sitting.
Or a computer? Yeah.
Yes, sitting.
No, I'm rarely sitting.
My hands are starting to fall asleep at the keyboard before I get up. And I'm like, you really need to be stretching your hands throughout the day because your hands should not be falling asleep. And then you realize I've been doing this for 3 hours and haven't moved.
That's why I don't like meeting days. I hate meetings because there's so much sitting. Get me in my classroom. Let me move constantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, we, and then the duties that we'll have too, Lori. So you might have a morning duty if you're in elementary school on the playground at recess. So you're walking around the playground in the morning. You walk your students into the classroom. You're walking laps, helping students all day. We're taking them down to PE. We're taking them to the music room. Oops, I forgot something in my the teacher's lounge. I need to go pick up my copies.
Yeah.
There's a message in the office. More laps, you know what I mean? Like we are getting the steps in. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. And that's helping your brain as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Much needed.
Yep. Keeps the, I think an important part of teaching is to bring the energy.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be rah-rah energy, but just to have a certain spirit of energy. And movement helps you maintain energy.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Anything else on move more, learn more?
I'll give one more idea.
Yeah.
I think it's called concentric circles. So you have an outer circle and an inner circle, and the students are partnered with an inner circle person with an outer circle person, and they have to do something together, and then you shift, whether it's one space or two spaces, clockwise, counterclockwise. But students are talking to each other, working with each other, and then standing and shifting their spots. So it's subtle movement, little bit of movement, just to keep people focused.
Thank you for the inspiration and the wisdom. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you enjoy SDPB's Teacher Talk, tell your BFAW, that is your best friend at work, tell your administrator, tell the next generation of educators that this is a place to learn about the highs and yes, the lows of the profession from people who love what they do. You can share, like, and rate the podcast. That helps us find our place in today's crowded audio ecosystem. Teacher Talk airs on SDPB's In the Moment Tuesdays. You can find all the companion blogs with links to the research on our website, sdpb.org/teachertalk, or just click through the podcast feed to get to our episode webpage. We are produced by SDPB's In the Moment team. Our Youngerman, Ellen Kester. Our engineer is Colton Nicholson. Regina Benz and Jackie Wilbur. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening.